Hello everyone, thank you so much for joining us. I am delighted to be able to say hello to you, and it's right about just a little bit past 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific, on Friday, February 4th, 2022. This is our third Thursday meditation. World Peace Satsang and meditation time. We're doing it one day late because of a conflict in schedule we had here at Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida, where we are right now. It's great to see you all here. Thank you so much for joining us. And these are really interesting times we're in lately, it seems like. There's been some positive movement, it seems, worldwide, which is great, although we definitely have many challenges left here. So we have the chat is open. Feel free to leave a message there for me if you're having any trouble with anything on the technical side. This call usually only lasts 1 hour at the most, and we go from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And the basic format is a meditation in the beginning, and then maybe a little teaching and questions a little later. So it's great to be with you. And Madeline is right here also. Want to say hi?
Yeah.
There she is.
Hello. Hello.
Everybody's waving. Yeah, so we're just finishing up 7 weeks here at Hippocrates Health Institute, which the saying is, I think it's probably hyperbole, but it's the healthiest place on planet Earth. I mean, I think in a way you could make that argument. It's a beautiful 60 acres. Really beautiful. Three lakes and lots, I mean, thousands and thousands of palm trees and gardens and statues and fountains and art and little houses and cabins nestled everywhere and raccoons running around and otters. We see otters running around. Lots of birds. Lots of iguana, yeah, big iguana lizards hanging out up in the trees. It's a real tropical paradise. And coconuts we eat every Wednesday. So you saw maybe the photograph. We posted a photograph on Facebook of the sprout bar. I mean, it's a long line of probably 15 or 20 different kinds of sprouts and raw vegetables along with various other condiments. That's what people are eating. And of course the people that come here either come because they have a serious health challenge. A lot of people come here with obesity, diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure. Now, of course, COVID, a lot of COVID injuries, vaccination injuries, COVID, whatever. And then other people come here just for a health tune-up. Quite a few actually just come for a health tune-up, especially people who live in Florida. They'll come over for a week, maybe, or 2 weeks. The usual program is 3 weeks. It's considered the minimal program to do a proper anything and get off your medications or reduce the medications. It's really great, actually. We've met quite a few people who have completely gotten off whatever medications they were on for arthritis or diabetes or cancer or heart, high blood pressure, whatever,
respiratory
things. They reduce them dramatically. The diet, it's a holistic approach, so a lot of diet, a lot of attitude, and a lot of exercise.
And
yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of people are here for weight loss. That's true. Yeah, a lot of weight loss people. Anyways, all things must come to an end, so we're happy. We're leaving here. Tomorrow's our last day. We leave early Sunday morning, and we'll be driving up to Gainesville to speak at the Gainesville Veg Fest, and then down to Miami for a workshop down there. And then we'll continue on. We're going to be living in our little van for about a month here in Florida, and doing some events, and then I'm heading back to California gradually in March. So we look forward to hopefully seeing some of you along the way, perhaps, who knows. But in any event, we're connected right now, and I don't want to take too much more time. We've got a nice group of people now gathered, so I think it'd be great to go ahead and begin our time of meditation. And so it looks like everything's fine as far as the yes, it's recording as far as the technical things go. So please make yourselves comfortable, however you'd like to do that, and that's really up to you. We'll go ahead and begin our time of meditation and send our consciousness into our awareness of this present moment. So let's just begin with that. Let's go ahead and connect with our breathing. Connect with the physical body that we are inhabiting for this incarnation, which is so precious and also ephemeral. And that's the great beauty, is in the ephemerality of our lives. We are here singing our song and doing our dance for a few years, and then we're off to somewhere else, another stage. So while we're here, let's feel our connection with our breath. And now feeling our connection with the earth, the abundant, magnificent, magical, beautiful planet that we are caretaking and stewarding here, learning about and honoring, this realm of countless living beings, so many interconnected lives and life forms mutually supporting each other. So we feel our connection with this earth, and we give thanks for the power and the beauty that's all around us, for the trees and the flowers, for the forests, the whole web of life on this earth, the prairies and mountains, the oceans and rivers, the waters, all the animals celebrating their lives here, the birds in the sky and the marine animals in the waters, the land animals leaping and celebrating, all living beings with a purpose, with a place in creation, no being being superior or inferior, ultimately all manifestations of one life. And then beyond this earth, we connect with cosmic power of the infinite mystery of heaven, of the unbounded universe, and the source of all life in all dimensions, beyond the physical universe to the many other dimensions of being, interpenetrating all manifestations of consciousness. And so we come home to our heart, and we give thanks for our heart. We give thanks for the physical organ of our heart that is always beckoning the fluids, the blood in our veins and in our arteries, encouraging it go out into the world and bring the gifts of oxygen and nutrients and beckoning it back again to be recharged and revitalized through the lungs, around and around through literally thousands and thousands of miles of passageways in this amazing vehicle with trillions of cells, all of them dedicated to serving the being that we are, the consciousness that we are, the purpose and the mission that we have for this lifetime. They're listening to all of our thoughts and feelings, responding to every nuance of feeling, rejoicing when we rejoice. And so we give thanks for all of the cells that make up this physical body and all of the organs and systems working together and cooperating with one goal and purpose, which is to support the creative purpose that the unique being that we are has for this incarnation. A whole symphony that we are conducting every moment, both consciously and unconsciously. And knowing that there is no difference between the body and the mind. The body and the mind are body-mind. Mind-body, it's one manifestation of consciousness. And so we just relax now into a sense of gratitude, knowing that beyond all forms is the pure infinite potential that gives rise to all forms. That the forms are not the true nature. That's the phenomenal world of appearances, which we are told is all there is, the material world. And now we relax into our heart, wisdom, aware that our true nature is not merely this outer physical form, but beyond the physical form and mediating that is the subtle body. Which has many dimensions, vibratory levels. So we allow ourselves to relax into this awareness of the body that is beyond the physical body, that's shimmering with wisdom, that's essentially filled with joy and a fundamental sense of freedom and loving kindness, compassion. And this subtle body is always bringing life and wisdom into the physical level. And knowing that this subtle body is also mediating to a far deeper level. And so we relax now beyond even the subtle body level to our true nature, the infinite consciousness that resides always in harmony and peace, where we live beyond time and space. What we are is not a thing. We are the pure potential that gives rise to the appearance that we see here and to what activates everything. And at this point, there is only unity with all expressions of life. So we just feel now our loving kindness and appreciation for the entire web of life, the appearance in the outer world. We send forth rays from our heart into this world, knowing that with every thought and feeling, we are feeding and nourishing the rising tide of loving kindness, compassion, joy, peace, and harmony and freedom in this world, so that this world reflects our true nature. Abiding in peace, we become the witnesses of all that is arising in our life. We see the challenges as they arise, knowing that in the bigger picture, they are always for the highest unfoldment of everyone who's involved. That we're always learning and growing from all circumstances and situations, and that we never have anything to fear, because there is nothing outside of what we are. As eternal consciousness, we can never be harmed by anything. So we give thanks, knowing that we are blessed every day with opportunities to savor the beauty around us, to deepen our connection with the noumenal reality, the noumenon that gives rise to all phenomena, the light of pure awareness that shines through the prism of this physical world into countless colors, dancing upon the wall of our world, making movies for our observation and entertainment, for our learning, but ultimately that we are awakening and serving and doing our best to be a conduit for healing for other human beings and for animals, for all living beings. That we are here to question all of the delusions that lead to unnecessary suffering and to bring loving kindness to the situations and to speak our truth, to live our life as an example of the highest unfoldment of freedom and creativity. That every day is a precious gift. And so we take this time to savor the breaths that we're taking together, to feel our unity, and to rest in this sense of appreciation. And we just enjoy this word appreciation, knowing that the more we appreciate all the dimensions of our life and the opportunities that we have to learn and grow, the more they appreciate, the more they grow, like an investment appreciates. And so we invest our consciousness and our attention in the beauty around us, the beautiful people who are right now on this call together with caring hearts that are not only pumping and encouraging and drawing fluids and blood through the physical body, but at a deeper level are sending massive waves of loving kindness and healing and vibratory joy and freedom and creativity out into the infinite web of relations that connects all of us. That the real power in this world is not of matter but is of spirit. That what we are is of spirit. That nothing can stop the unfoldment and the radiant expression of spiritual truth and spiritual life, of infinite spiritual awareness, and that this life is our opportunity to raise the sail of the ship that has our name on it, to sail out of the harbor and into the vast ocean of being, to explore the breadth and depth of all that we are here to learn about, to bring gifts to others from our explorations, to fulfill the mythic heroism of our own true nature and discover the jewels of awakening hidden in the cave of our own heart. So we allow ourselves now to abide in our true home, abiding in the sense of gratitude and inner peace, and again remembering that there is nothing in the outer world that can ultimately interfere with the joy and freedom of the spirit that is our true nature. The sky can never be harmed by the clouds, which will always ultimately dissolve in the light of the sun, the ever-radiant truth of our self-nature. So we begin to slowly return to our shared space together, giving thanks for each other and for all the other human beings on this earth, past, present, and future, who make such beautiful efforts to shine their light into the world and to be an example of peace and freedom, who have spent their time in contemplation, who have worked hard to overcome the delusions and the obstacles and the obstructions to the radiant flowing of wisdom in their lives, who exemplify peace and healing, and who have left love letters in the form of music and art and scriptures in many languages and times that we can open. And as deep as we are is as deep as we can understand. And the deeper we go, the deeper we understand. And we know that we can hear the deepest spiritual teaching in the rustling of leaves in the wind, in the sound of the water as it splashes over rocks, in the call of the geese as they fly on their way south, and that we are all like the geese on a journey of returning home. So we send now to all the fellow pilgrims in our human family our salutations. We honor you, we respect you, we give thanks for you. We wish you the best. We know that each one of us has our own rhythm, our own time of ripening. And we acknowledge and bow to the right timing for all expressions of life. There are some streams that go rushing quickly to the ocean, and there are some streams that wend their way very slowly, and that the Lord of all life, the being of all beings, loves all the streams, appreciates all the paths, and may our own unique path be discovered ever anew as we free ourselves from the temptation to fit in, to be part of something that is not really in alignment with who we are. So in closing now, we once again connect with our breathing. With every inhalation, breathing in the power and joy and light of the cosmos, and as we exhale, it's radiating loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace in all directions, like an ever-expanding sphere of light. May all beings be happy and at peace. May all beings who are lost in delusion, who are lost in the illusion of manipulating others, of trying to attain happiness by harming others, may they quickly awaken to the ever-abiding inner wisdom. And may they be free from delusion. So now we just see the entire planet Earth bathe in the light of peace, this beautiful jewel shining in space, healthy, whole, complete, and free, knowing that all expressions of life here are whole and complete and free, that we need no outer material forces to bring health, that our true nature is health and wholeness and joy and freedom and creativity and love and radiant expressiveness. And we see the earth now aligning with the deeper forces in the cosmos, going through a transformation and a birth and a rebirth for a world of vegan living. We know that the true nature of the earth is completely based on ahimsa and non-violence, a vegan world of kindness and compassion for all living beings. This is the essential template, which is every day manifesting more and more through each and every one of us. May all beings be happy, may all beings be free, and may we continue to build a world that cares for everyone and that reflects the truth of the interconnectedness of all life. May we, each one of us, as we go forth into our life after this meditation this evening, discover ever more deeply the power, freedom, and truth resonating in every cell of our being, awakening the joy and wisdom that are our true nature, so that we are guided every day to unfold the unique and authentic expression of life that we are, without judgment or comparison. Each one of us, a beautiful flower in the garden, perfecting and awakening to our true nature, in form and beyond form. So we give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. All right, well, bless you all. Thanks again. I am very grateful for your presence here through Zoom land. I know some of you are in one time zone away, and some are like 4 or 5 time zones away, and even, yeah, 6. And then who knows how many miles that is. And yet the beauty is that we inhabit a space of consciousness that overlaps, and this is it, we're right here, right now. All right, so we have a few minutes, this is great, and I'm happy to respond to anyone. If you have a pressing question, press *6. I have a few things also, maybe some reflections to share as well. But, you know, the thing I think that I touched on a little bit today, if you got the email that we sent out, Food as Medicine, that we talk so much about how important it is that we eat healthy food and that we be vegan and not eat and not pay for the flesh and secretions of horribly tortured and abused animals. And that's incredibly important. And that's like one of the main fundamental steps that we can take in our life here on Earth in terms of being a vehicle for healing and actually authentically living a spiritual life. And I just want to emphasize also that there's another form of nutrition that is also essential, and I feel that many vegans fail in a sense to appreciate the importance, and of course many non-vegans too, of the vibratory nature of our nourishment, that we're constantly thinking and feeling, and we're having relationships with other human beings and with animals and with the world around us. And that all of those relationships and interactions and thoughts and feelings have a vibratory quality to them. And what I see happening, I think, is, as you, I'm sure you're all aware, there's a sort of this massive effort that is being made to lower the vibratory rate of humanity, to sort of bring us to a lower level of vibration, so that we will resonate with messages of fear, that will resonate with messages of hostility and separation and mistrust and wanting others to stop communicating what they're communicating and so forth. And so that's why I think it's so important for us who are discovering the power of consciousness and the power of our life as an individual on this earth to be a healing catalyst and to be a beacon of light in the world, that it's really up to us. It's our personal responsibility, and no one else can do it for us, to create our own vibratory reality, to maintain that, no matter what is happening in the outer world. So that's where the real, I think, effort also should be going, to pay attention to the quality of our thoughts and our feelings and our relationships, and also what we're taking in with our senses. That's one of the reasons Madeline and I both, we've not had a television in 50 years, because there's this awareness that coming through that medium is a constant effort to lower and mislead and deceive consciousness. So it's be very careful, because there are many ways that delusion is able to manifest. And in the Buddhist tradition, and I think really in most of the world religious traditions, there is this awareness, there is this dual awareness, that on the ultimate level there is only pure awareness. In the Buddhist tradition, that's called Dharmakaya, the Dharma body. And it's absolutely, it's called the Vajrakaya, the diamond body, right? It's pure, it's absolutely immaculate, clear, clean, undamageable, nothing can touch it. That's our true nature. That's the infinite awareness of purity that is the castle, and the fortress, really, that is untouchable by anything in the outer world. So that's one level, but there is this other level of the dream, and we're living in the sort of mind-created reality of our six senses, the five senses plus the mind together create the six senses, and we're partaking of this whole thing. And so that's where we run into what is referred to as Maya, or the power of illusion, or Mara, which is the tempting, misleading forces of darkness, or Satan, or there's many different, Lucifer, there's many different names that this has gone by, which seems to be a force that's in many ways actively pulling us into delusion and into suffering, so that we're creating karma. We're the law of cause and effect still actually happen. It's happening. I mean, when we sow seeds, they do bear fruit. So that's why it's critically important for us, even though our true nature is beyond, in a sense, beyond karma, our actual mind and consciousness and experience is in the world of form. And it's critical that we understand this, and that we consciously plant seeds of kindness, so that the more, as great spiritual teachers have said, the more hatred that comes to us, the more love goes back. The more fear that comes towards us, the more our sense of inner peace and harmony goes out from us. This is it's a tall order, and yet this is really what counts, because this is what creates the reality, not only in this life, but in the coming lives. It's not just this one life. We have to really always remember to have this bigger picture, that we're always sowing the seeds of our future incarnations and experiences, whatever they are, in the next moment, in the next year, in the next lifetime, in the next 100 lifetimes. So the being that we are, we don't know what we are, right? I mean, that's what we need to, that's the great calling, that's the great question. What are we? What actually are we? And it's not form. In the Buddhism, we talk about the five skandhas. It's not the form, it's not the feelings, the perceptions, the mental impulses, or consciousness. It's none of that. It's not a thing. And so to be able to do the inner work to uncover and awaken to our true nature, that's the real liberation. But it's so important, I think, to recognize that the world is a mirror. And so if our vibration gets low and we start feeding into fear and into separation, we will start to resonate with all of that. And it'll pull us into the same mentality. But if we're on a higher vibratory level, we won't even be aware of it. It won't touch us. And I think we all know what that's like, right? We know. I mean, at this point, like I've heard people say, when they're just a new vegan, they're like, oh gosh, I walked by a barbecue and that steak grilling on the barbecue, it smelled so good, my mouth was watering, I really wanted to go over there, but I restrained myself, you know, and I thought about the cows being slaughtered, and so I didn't want to have any part of it, but I was really tempted, oh, it would have been so great, you know. And then after being a vegan like for 40 years, like we are now, if we walk by the same barbecue, right, it's like disgusting smell of toxic animal, you know, all we think of is like, who would ever in their darkest nightmare be attracted to such a horrible violence? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? It loses all attraction because we're not vibrating on that level. We're at a whole higher level, we're at a whole different level. And so that's the whole idea, is to just, instead of fighting to try to, you know, block things, to just raise our own vibratory level. And when we change that, the world changes. The world literally changes. We've talked about this so many times. We've seen it happen. I've seen this so many times. Like people say, well, I'm vegan at home, but when I travel, oh, it's so hard to travel as a vegan. It's hard to find vegan food, you know. So I cheat a little here and there, you know, if I need to eat something, has a little cheese, a little butter, you know, whatever, because it's so hard, you know. And I think that's true, but that's true when we're not 100% committed. I think if we're 99.5% committed, then the vibratory level is at that level of not being 100% committed. And it's like when we hit the point of 100% commitment, it's like the universe switches and we find, gosh, you know, everywhere we go, there's food. There's vegan food. It's just, there it is. People say, oh, hey, you know, here it is. It's like, it opens, the doors open. Like Joseph Campbell said, doors will open where there were no doors. And it's really a manifestation of our consciousness. And so that's why it's important for us, I think, to always be aware that if we argue, I think it was somebody said this, I think Wayne Dyer, if you argue for your limitations, you'll win, you know, you'll be right, yeah, you're not going to get it. And if we don't argue for them, if we actually hold on to our vision of what we really feel is right for us and authentic, we create the space and consciousness for that to manifest. And so I think it's very interesting to see this. And also, there's this great image that Madeline and I just read about yesterday. You know, we're reading this book a little bit every night. It's an old book. I read it years and years ago. It's called The Way of the White Clouds by Lama Anagarika Govinda, who's German. And he goes over to Tibet back in the 1930s and early 1940s. Way back before before China took over. It's so interesting. And he explores the ancient world of the Tibetan lamas and their incredible powers that these people had to live in these caves up in the mountains in the snow with just a little cotton cloth with no food, and they just live up there. You know, it's because they're just meditating, they're just manifesting whatever they need through their meditation practice. I mean, it's really remarkable. But he was talking last night about how they went to this one temple way out in the middle of nowhere, and it was a temple that you're not supposed to ever look into. It was like one of these kind of a hidden temple that nobody should ever really see, far away in the mountains. And they opened up the shutters, and it was a temple to Yamantaka. And Yamantaka is the Lord of, it's actually two ways of saying it, the Lord of Death or the Slayer of Death. And so when they opened up this the shutters on this window so they could look at this big statue inside the temple, they almost fell back, because instead of being this very benevolent, beautiful Buddha image of a peaceful, beautiful Buddha, it was just the opposite. It was this absolutely wrathful, terrifying, almost demonic looking, the big black bull head, and then like seven other heads that were red and orange and full of anger, and hair was, you know, flaring up in flames, and they were just totally terrorizing. And the idea is that this Yamantaka, which looks so terrifying and is like absolutely the scariest thing you could ever possibly imagine, the main thing he does, and the idea is when you die and you leave your body, you have to face him. That's part of the thing. Like you face Yamantaka, and Yamantaka, if you've been manipulating people, using people, and so forth, you face Yamantaka. And the main thing he does is he holds up a mirror, and your entire life you see what you did and how you harmed other beings. And it's excruciatingly painful to actually be aware of how you lived your life. And Yamantaka is actually a manifestation of Avalokiteshvara, who is the great bodhisattva of kindness and love and compassion. He puts on this other form. It's the same one. It's the same being. But he shows this other face to scare you. And you're scared because it's your own, you know, it's just your own mind manifesting this, right? I mean, that's it. It's a manifestation of your own consciousness and of your actions, because this is how you lived your life in this last life. And so now he shows you the mirror, and then this is the hell, right? I mean, it's just you made it yourself. It doesn't last forever. I mean, everything in Buddhism, there's no eternal anything. You know, everything begins and ends. Whatever has a beginning has an end. So the whole idea is that you realize this, and this is for your own good. It's for your learning, and to understand, and then to transform the self-centered delusion that causes us to abuse other beings, and to transform that into peace and harmony and kindness and compassion and caring and mercy and sensitivity and so forth, based on the diamond that there's one life living through all of us, that diamond realization, that fundamentally. So really the basic idea is the only way we can authentically be a force for healing and awakening in the world is to work on ourselves. I mean, that's it. You everybody who thinks, the world would be better if I could just change everybody else, right? I mean, it doesn't work like that. The world improves when we raise our own level of consciousness so that we are the manifestation of Avalokiteshvara or of Jesus, right? We're the manifestation of the love and compassion and kindness that we see in the great sages and saints of history who have gone before us. And everything that happens is an opportunity to do that. That there's nothing that's too big for us. Everything that comes is an opportunity for that. So Yamantaka is the lord of death, the slayer of death, because actually he will destroy even death itself. And that's one of the great awakenings, of course, that happens eventually when we discover our true nature, is we realize that there isn't any death, in a sense. I mean, there's not, like we think. The saying that I really like is that you'll never be any more dead than you are right now. This is as dead as you'll ever be. and that's the truth. I mean, we're probably about it here. So the whole idea is to become more alive, and that means to raise our vibration, and it's through the food, through breath work. I really recommend breathing. you know, every morning do some inhalations, really deep breathing. Wim Hof has some good techniques on his website, I think are good. I've been doing that now for over probably 2 years, and or 3 years maybe. And I actually think that getting into cold water every day is a good idea. I mean, you really are in the moment when you're in cold water. They had this thing here at Hippocrates. They had this pool that is like super cold. I mean, it's really cold. It's like ice water. You know, and so people go in there, and I've made it a practice to stay in that for 10 minutes every day. It's quite a practice. And you just kind of learn to not judge sensations, right? I mean, I've learned that if I don't react to something, it's not that bad. You just kind of watch it. It's, okay, that's just a feeling. It doesn't have to be, you know, the mind labels it. It's, oh, it's painful or it's pleasurable. I like it, I don't like it. And then I'm pulling away, I'm, you know, grasping, trying to get it, trying to keep it away. We're always in a big battle because we're always judging and comparing everything. If we just notice what it is, okay, it's cold. Oh, now it's really hot. You know, go to the sauna, it's like 160. And you go into this water, it's like 48 or whatever. And then, you know, but it's just sensations. They're just sensations. And so we can be free from this mind that is giving us misery, that's always judging everything and wanting everybody to be the way we want them to be and wanting ourselves to be the way we want ourselves to be. You know, trying to prove ourselves to our parents who have already died anyway. We can't please them anymore. So the whole idea is to be able to watch and to witness the quality of our consciousness. So I think breathing practices are really helpful, and meditation practices, anything that we can do just to develop this awareness that we're not just these feelings that, and perceptions and impulses and consciousness, that we're the space in which all of this arises, the space within this manifests. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's, I think, kind of what's being pointed at by most of the great teachings in many ways. I mean, the two main things are, you'll never understand any of this if we're not loving and kind to others, especially those who are vulnerable in our hands. So anytime a spiritual teacher comes along and says, well, you know, you can awaken spiritually and it doesn't matter if you eat meat or not because you're beyond karma, or it doesn't matter if you manipulate people because you're doing it for their own good. You know, you better run the other way. And there's a lot of that going on. So-called spiritual teachers who act like the quality of our behavior isn't important. Really, I mean, that's the foundation of everything, is that we're living a life of ethical purity as much as possible, that every thought, word, and deed is, as best we can, an expression of kindness for others, that we're doing the best we can to maximize the happiness and kindness of others. And then when we get a feeling for that a little bit, and again, it goes completely against, in many ways, a lot of our training in this society, where we're taught to try to maximize our own happiness, and we don't realize that it's really interconnected with the happiness of others. But then we have that foundation, and we'll find that our mind, so at least what I find a little bit, is that then the mind gets quieter. I'm not thinking so much all the time, and meditation can go deeper, and when the meditation goes deeper, then it's even more natural for us to not get irritated with people for what they say, or, you know, be understanding. Everyone is wounded. So if someone says something that's hurtful to us, we can realize that they were wounded, and that's the best they can do. That's who they are. So in the Taoist tradition, right, I'll just close with this idea that there's the idea of the empty boat. I think I've mentioned that before, but if you're in a boat, an image is, you're in a boat and you're just enjoying this beautiful afternoon, laying on your back, looking up at the sky, looking at the clouds, just drifting, totally at peace, and then all of a sudden, boom, another boat rams into you, and you're like, oh no, you're frustrated and angry and irritated, and you're ready to get up and yell at this stupid person who just rammed into you, and then you look up and you start laughing because it's an empty boat. The boat was just driven by the wind, and remember, it's always an empty boat. People are just driven by the wind of their programming, and they don't mean anything. They can't. It's just who they are. So we can laugh. Actually, it's always an empty boat out there, and it's really how we respond, and that's, I think, the key. So I have used up the whole time. Anyone have any comments, or we have time for a few? If you have any comments or questions about anything I've been saying, I'm happy to address those. We haven't gotten to the Dhammapada for a few months. I always have it next to here to read, but we'll have to wait maybe till next time. Anyone want to share anything? If not, we can enjoy the time that we have together, because in this day and age, I think when we're sort of bombarded with such there's a lot of negativity, but there's also, I think, more and more good news is happening too, which I think is great to see. I mean, it's great to see the truckers in Canada, and it's great to see these people who are really standing up for freedom more and more. And so there's a lot of good news, and I think we have to build on that momentum, but really in our own way do the best we can to live this in the day-to-day thoughts and feelings in our day-to-day life. Andy, yes, you have your hand up. It looks like you're driving. I'm not sure if that's going to work, but we'll see.
Okay, there we go. Pulled over. I just pulled over so that
okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, so I just pulled over, and I apologize for being late. I just came in on that last part that was probably very important for me to hear, which is we can't change other people, but yet lately that's all I've been trying to do, because what other people are doing is now affecting my life. Well, it's always been affecting my life, but now it's particularly affecting my life, because doing the van life, I always count on public resources like the libraries. And now I don't have that anymore. They're all shut down, and that's where I charge in. I use my laptop. I mean, every basic function to do my bills, to look at my bank accounts, everything. And I don't have public, you know, Wi-Fi, laptop plugging in to charge so that all of my backup is done. So, since I was arrested at the library, there's a lot of wonderful freedom people that have supported me and all of that, but I've been wanting to do something like some kind of protest at the library, and it's weird. I don't know how many people will be interested, what really to do, but it's like I hear every freedom person wants freedom, but they want to yell at a politician to get it, and they still want to wear the masks. So feel like, what else can I do other than try to change people so I can get my resources back? This is where I guess I'm a little lost. Is there something that I can change about myself to...
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know,
I'm lost.
Yeah, I guess that's the actual work. You know, I think the whole idea is that here we are, we have these impingements on our lives, on our freedom, and how do we respond to that? That's the question, you know. And when I say we can't change other people, I mean that. We can't change them. We can plant seeds, right? The being that we are will plant seeds, and we can perhaps help awaken other people, and through the way we respond to the situation. So you came late, so you missed a lot of what I was saying. But about raising our vibratory level, because if we vibrate at a lower level, we're going to attract more of that, right? And so that's the thing. So the idea is to do the inner work to raise our vibratory level so that we're at the point where we're not attracting that kind of thing. And how do we do that? That's the thing. It's an inner discipline. It's like learning to play an instrument, play the piano, whatever. We practice with our mind. We practice, like I was saying, with breath work. Practice with our thoughts. Sending love, just, you know, sending love to people, walking, just passersby, going by, you know, just practice becoming a radiating beacon of joy and love and freedom. And, you know, we can think about, like, how terrible it is for me, you know, like, how, oh man, I have all these problems. But I think it's helpful to put that in a bigger context of, well, compared to what? Compared to some people who, you know, like the Tibetan monks that got thrown into prison and had everything taken away and were tortured every day. I mean, it's not that bad, and they were actually radiating love to their captors every day. You know, so I think, you know, the idea is that we have the possibility to create the frame within which we hold everything. The world that we are witnessing is really an arising in our own consciousness and how we respond to it. You know, I talked about the mirror. The world ultimately is a mirror. Ultimately it is a mirror. So we can try to change the outer world, but ultimately it's a mirror of ourselves. So if we change ourselves, it changes in ways that are unpredictable, but ultimately it's the best way. There was the Tibetan Lama where I lived in San Francisco. I have to wrap it up here because it's 9 o'clock. But I remember there was one person in our in the community who was kind of especially known for being very irritable and complaining about everybody. Around, you know, everybody. And so we were having lunch together, maybe six or seven of us, and she was there, and it was a woman, but she started complaining about other people. And finally the Lama said, he didn't have very good English, but he said, if you look in a mirror and you see a dirty face looking at you in the mirror, it is not very wise to try to clean off the dirt thinking the dirt's on the mirror. He said, the dirt is not on the mirror. The dirt's on your own face. You got to clean your own face and then the dirt will go away. And it was really, I never forget it because the way he said it, it was kind of like, yeah, in many ways, that's what it is. We wish that, you know, my life would be so much better if other people would change. But, you know, for some reason, this is what I'm faced with. And there are really, it seems like I could only do one or two things, but actually there's probably 10,000 things you could do, actually. I mean, open up the mind to the possibilities of all the different, responses, inner and outer. Inner responses, what are the possible inner responses? You know, I mean, there's a lot. You know, I could go on a silent retreat, I could stop using the computer, I could go into the woods and just meditate with, like, you know, who knows? I mean, there's all infinite, so the whole idea is, I think, is to just see our life as an opportunity to respond, because we're living in an incredible time and we're being faced with challenges that are very unique. So that's why I think it's so important to try to keep our vibration high, and that means resisting the temptation to come down to the level, like it's kind of like Einstein said, you can't solve any problem the same level you created. So, you know, just to raise, keep ourselves high. And that means doing the inner work, I think, every day, having a regular morning practice, connecting with nature, connecting with water, connecting with silence, sending out, connecting with the inner love, loving presence, the awareness that we carry within us, reading perhaps uplifting books, or having relationships, you know, having a community. That's why it's great to have a community, like we can at least get together like this once a month and remember a few things. And I think that way we carry each other in our hearts, and we carry the truth in our heart. And that way we can help others. The best way we can help others is really not necessarily to pull them down, but, you know, to help just be an example, be loving and compassionate. But remember, we can also encourage them to remember. A lot of it's just remembering our true nature, that we're not just physical beings. We are the source of all of this. So now Madeline is saying, time to end.
Thank you so much. I apologize for being late. I'll rewatch when you post.
Yeah, well, I'll put this up and you can listen to the audio. That may be helpful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're most welcome, Andy. It's always great to hear from you and great to hear from everyone. So let's go ahead. Much love to all of you. We're going to do our little ritual here, which I think is always so fun. It's so good to see you all. Thank you, Susan, Suzanne, Fred, Carlos, Dwayne, Margie, Alice, so many, Julie, Cheryl, oh gosh, so many beautiful people here. Kenny, I'm telling you, Christina, everybody. Madeline, can you join me? No. Rose, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I mean, I can't see some names and everything. But let's say our prayer for compassion that we say at the end. You can unmute your phones if you'd like, however you'd like to do that. Truman, good to see you. Okay, so you all know what it is. We'll say it together. Compassion encircles the earth, for I see being everywhere. And this is the truth. One more time with feeling. Compassion encircles the earth. For all beings everywhere. Woohoo! Yeah. All right. Love you. Thank you, everyone.
Love you.
Thank
you.
We'll be in touch.
Bye. Bye. Lily.
Thank you. Thank you, Davi, for joining us from England. Yay, good to see you. All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.